Right, we're turning to our Bibles again, please, to Acts chapter 3 tonight. And we move along in this wonderful book of action, the Acts of the power of God at work in the early church. And chapter 3, verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets, since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant, which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God hath raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. Welcome again to Let the Bible Speak. And today we're looking at Peter's message of repentance. This is his second sermon after the day of Pentecost. And he said here in Acts 3 verse 19, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." And of course the goal is to have our sins blotted out. How can we live with the guilt of sin? How can we live with that condemnation? Well, we might struggle through life, but when we die, it will take us to the pit of hell. We need to be delivered from the guilt of sin. That's the whole aim and object of the gospel. And whatever religion you have, whatever philosophies you have, if it doesn't lead you to the joy of sins forgiven, then it is not good news. It is not the answer. Now, Christ dying on the cross was to pay the price of sin. He, by his one sacrifice, rendered unto God the Father a sufficient payment to blot out all our sins. But how do we lay hold of that? How does that happen in each individual heart? Here Peter preaches, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." And I hope that this message today from the pulpit of our church will lead you to personal repentance, which is a U-turn in your life, to turn away from sin and to turn to the Lord Jesus by faith, believing in his finished work on that cross for your salvation. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher. Stay tuned right through the program today as we bring you this message on repentance. Now, we're going to move to the remedy of repentance. Back to our text in Acts 3:19. "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out." And here you will see that without repentance, there is no cleansing. Without repentance, there's no redemption. The person who's not willing to repent and give up their sin will not know the blotting out of their sins. And that is the outcome. Now, this term, blotted out, just for those who have gotten into the grammar habit tonight, is also aorist. It's a one-time thing that happens when your sins are blotted out. When we come to Christ by faith, forsaking our sins are blotted out totally in one go, justified freely from all things. That's the power of the gospel, and that's the completion of the gospel when we become a believer in the Lord Jesus. But note that there is something here in the passive. It is something that is bestowed upon you. Now, it's aorist, meaning it's done one time, but your sins are blotted out. That's not something you do. You don't blot out your own sins. God does that. That's the power of God declaring our justification, our cleansing, and that we are pardoned. And so the remedy through repentance is this wonderful experience of God blotting out our sins one time. And God does it, not us. That's the wonder of it. Now, when I was at school, we used blotters. You believe that? We actually had little inkwells in our desks. There was a little round cutout on the desk and an inkwell in there. And we had pens that we used. They were fountain pens with no ink in them except what you dipped in. They just had a little nib, and you gave enough ink on the nib and you started to write with that. Well, it was a messy business, let me tell you. And we had these little paper blotters. If you got a bubble of ink or a blotch of ink, then you dab that on the page and made sure it didn't spread to the other page. When you closed the book, it was all dried up. And it was not a perfect science. It was messy. And we had a blotter, and it was a kind of fibery open paper that just absorbed the ink into it. Now, that's my original thought of a blotting out. But when I researched the meaning for Greeks in the Greek world, it was a judge or some accountant, and if you had not paid your debts, you had your name and the amount listed, and it was done on wax. And so they had a pen or a stylus, and they made the mark and the amount and your name all in wax. But when you paid your bill, or maybe someone paid it for you, which might be better, then they simply took the same instrument and smoothed the wax. It was a temporary arrangement in writing, and when that wax was smoothed over, there was no longer a record. It was all gone. And this is the language that is used right here for the blotting out of our sins. The debt, the guilt that was ours, is no longer visible. It is totally blotted out. And being in the aorist, it means it's done once, totally. So when you come to Christ by repentance and faith, and you plead the cleansing of the blood of Christ, your sins are blotted out once and totally, past, present, and future. Every sin has to go neath the cleansing flow. And that's what repentance does. But you can't have the blotting out without the repentance. That's what Peter is saying in this text, in his sermon. And surely there is the power of the blood of Jesus to wash away sins. Now think of the sins that Peter was talking about, the murder of God's Son. And there can be no greater sin. There can be no greater iniquity. You cried out for the death of Christ, the Son of God. You sent him to the cross. But if you repent, if you change your mind, if you do a U-turn, if you recognize your error, your sins will be blotted out, even the worst sin imaginable, the death of the Son of God. And so when we preach the gospel, there is no sin that the blood of Christ cannot cleanse from. Fornication, thievery, murder. Paul the Apostle was a murderer. And of course, the power of the gospel to set men free from their sins. And there's a text in Matthew 12, 31. I'd like you to look this one up. It's a very important text on this subject, on the power of the blood to cleanse us. Matthew 12, verse 31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men. That's the people who reject the witness of the Spirit calling them to faith in Christ. Those who will not repent, those who will not believe, and they will not come under the power of the gospel. But it says here that all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. And so when we preach the gospel and preach repentance, we can give the assurance to sinners, to you tonight, that your sins will be blotted out by the power and the grace of the gospel. Now, this repentance is the remedy to estrangement from God, because sin separates. In Young's literal translation, this text, Acts 3:19, reads this way, reform ye, therefore, and turn back for your sins to be blotted out. What are you turning back to? Back to God. Because sin has separated between you and God. Sin has made you a stranger, a foreigner, an alien. But repentance is the first step to reconciliation. And the moment men, women, boys, and girls repent, confess their sin, their error, their wrongdoing, their guilt, their shame, and they confess it, and they turn around. They want to leave that sin and go back to God. There's the power of the blotting out of your sins, and you are brought back into the fellowship with God. That's the power of the gospel, and that's the power of repentance. And therefore, you can't really preach the gospel without repentance. You can't be warned. You must be warned. You must be notified that your sins are destroying you. And if you cling to your sin, if you hold on to your sins, you cannot be saved. But the moment you repent, turning back to God, there is this blotting out, a marvelous reconciliation with the Father. Just like the prodigal son, when he came to himself, when he was feeding those pigs and looking at the pig food, and he himself was hungry, he came to himself. That was the moment of his turnaround. And he thought about his father's home, and he thought and he turned. He actually went back. He made the U-turn required in his life. And no matter what a mess men, women, boys, and girls make of their lives, no matter how wrong they have been, repentance is the way back. Turn or burn. Repent. Change your ways. Turn back to God and enjoy the cleansing power of the blood. Now, Peter went on to talk about the times of refreshing, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Now, preachers have a difficulty with this one because it's only used one time in the New Testament. And that means we're on our own with this single reference. It is used only once here in the New Testament. And in this singular use, it was given to show a time when God, by His Spirit, would work, perhaps similar to Pentecost, times of refreshing from the presence of the world. Another Pentecost, another outpouring of the Spirit. And so you see here that the Holy Spirit is not withdrawn. Pentecost was not just a singular event. This ministry of the Spirit, times of refreshing, would come upon the church again and again and again. And the history of the world proves that God has done so. We certainly are due for a gracious time of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. It would speak to me of going through a drought season when everything's dry and there's no rain. But when the rain comes, it changes everything. What a difference. Forest fires are put out. The vegetation that is burnt and withered comes to life. Grass grows again. The barren countryside turns green. The time of refreshing. And likewise in the Lord's church, likewise amongst the people of God, there may be periods of barrenness and dryness, but when the time of refreshing comes from the presence of the Lord, and what is that aids that? Repentance. What should the church do in a time of barrenness when it seems the Spirit of God is held back? We must repent. We must examine ourselves and see if there be any sin within us. And of course, where have we lost the power? Where did we lose the influence of the Holy Spirit? And there's an old adage, where you lost it, that's where you're going to find it. And that's true spiritually. Where you lost out with God, you've got to go back right there. If you lost out because you lost out with your Bible, you've got to go back and start reading that word again and praying over that word. If you once were a bright Christian walking with God with a mighty interest in this book, you've got to go back to that for the time of refreshing in your soul. If there was a time when you were mighty in prayer in your own home or that secret place, you were there in the place of prayer, you've got to go back. You've got to do a U-turn and go to that place again, that you will find that time of refreshing in your own soul. Likewise, if you've lost out in the fellowship of the saints, in the house of God, in the prayer meeting, you've got to go back. You've got to go where you left out with God, that you might find the recovery of the Lord's blessing again. And then, of course, it's repentance that brings great relief to the people of God. Now, I'm going to go back to the story of King David, that terrible sin that he committed in adultery with Bathsheba. And when you read Psalm 51, you read the misery, the misery of conviction of sin. And if you're a Christian tonight, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Sin makes the born-again Christian totally miserable. And the only way to get relief from that misery is confession, and to confess the very sin that you believe that has brought such guilt upon your own life. And you know how David prayed, "Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight." He didn't minimize it, but he went back to the very sin that by which he grieved the Lord. And in Psalm 51, you'll find there was the re-infilling for David. He said, "Create within me a right spirit. Cause the joy of thy salvation to return again." And so here is the way for the Christian: repentance to get saved, to get the blotting out of our transgressions. But there is also a sense in the Christian seeking time of refreshing, restoration, relief, and new power. How do we do that? It calls for our repentance. And in the history of the Christian church, there are times when churches called their people together for days of humiliation and repentance. They acknowledged that they had lost out somewhere, that the Holy Spirit had not come down to bless. And they humbled themselves, they repented, they searched their hearts, and they sought the times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And of course, that brings back a time of reusing. There is recovery, relief, and there is reusing. And even King David said that he would preach again in the great congregation, that he would again be God's mouthpiece and minister of the Word. Surely that's what we desire tonight. And we want Pentecostal power. We want the Holy Spirit to come in a wonderful time of refreshing. And we must be willing to repent. That ought to mark our own prayer lives. It ought to mark our prayers in the church, in the congregational prayer. There ought to be the confessing of our sin, our failure, and our need of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And of course, we're jealous to see the power of God again in our souls. We long for it. We yearn for it. But we don't just sit around waiting. We're called to repent. We're called to seek the Lord with all our hearts. Until, what does it say here, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. I would think that refers to the throne room in heaven, where Jesus' seat sits at the right hand of the Father. From His presence, He will command the blessing from the throne and send the Holy Spirit in your renewed power. That's certainly what we desire. And we must be a people that are willing to repent of every sin, every evil, anything that might be hindering the blessing. It might not be one of the Ten Commandments. It might be an attitude. It might be a holding back on something. We've got to be willing to repent. That's a key word. It's a key part of enjoying the power of God. In fact, Christians are known as repentant people. They've got a repentant attitude to the world, and indeed about themselves, because we know we're not what we should be. And praise God, we're not what we're going to be one day. Well, one day we're going to be perfect. There will be nothing to repent of. But in this world, We have a lot to be repentant about. And we need to exercise this repentance and enjoy the cleansing power of the blood, blotting out our sins. I pray tonight that this text will become part of our whole service for God, recognizing that here is something that is absolutely imperative. It's a command. Repent ye, therefore. Be converted, turn about, that your sins may be blotted out. And thank God every sin can be gone. The joy can be restored. The victory can be ours when we do exercise repentance and turn to the Lord. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you have been moved today by this call to repentance, and you realize that you need to do a U-turn in your life, to turn away from the world and its sins, to believe on the Lord Jesus with all your heart, please allow me to help you. I would be delighted to hear from you by phone or email. I would be delighted to open the Bible and point you the way of salvation. The gospel is very simple, yet I know that many people like that clear guidance one-to-one. And if you can give me a call, I'll be delighted to walk you through the scriptures and to help you as you give your heart and life to the Lord for His salvation. And again, the details are coming up, my phone number, address for the website, and how you may be in touch. But I implore upon you the urgent need to be saved, the urgent need to give your heart to the Lord. We know not what a day will bring forth. This is the hour of opportunity, and I plead with you to turn to the Lord today. Give Him your heart, believe the gospel, repent of the world and its sins, and give yourself to Christ, and He will save you. Thank you for listening to our Let the Bible Speak broadcast. This is Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. You'll also find our podcast button on the top of the homepage of our website. We are on the air Sundays 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services Sundays 10:30 and 6 p.m. Yes, we have an evening preaching service in our church at 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view our church services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We are located two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. We also have a church in Victoria, 733 Van Alman Avenue, Sundays 10:30 and 6. Our website again is www.ltbs.ca. Remember to join us here again on this station, Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m., as we let the Bible speak.